to SCR Breakfast. I'm Sam Barron here with you this morning. I'm joined now in the studio by Michael Jones, who has something to say about a new movie out. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sam. How are you?
I'm going pretty well.
Good. I'm going to talk about a film called 1917. This is a film that won a couple of awards most recently at the Golden Globes, including Best Drama and Best Director. And we will probably feature it many awards nights in the next month or so. And it comes out today, so it's worth talking about. This film, 1917, stars George MacKay, who is in Captain Fantastic. Have you seen that film?
I've seen Captain Marvel. There's a lot of captains.
Well, anyway, Captain
different
Fantastic.
Different kind of captain in this one, I assume.
Very different. Well, there's lots of different captains, and they all have very posh accents in this film. Anyway, also a fellow Dean Charles Chapman, who played Tommen in Game of Thrones.
Okay,
He was the second son, the one that chucks himself out the window.
Was he a Lannister or a Stark?
He was a Lannister. He became the king, but when he saw what his mum did, he threw himself out the window. Remember that? Anyway, he's in this film, but he's not playing a young prince. Anyway, this film is written and directed by Sam Mendes, who made films like Skyfall, The Road to Perdition, Revolutionary Road, and American Beauty. So this guy doesn't make too many duds.
No.
And this one certainly isn't a dud either. It's actually really, really good. A little bit about the film. It's 1917, obviously. We're in northern France. Two British soldiers, Lance Corporals Blake, played by Chapman, and Schofield, played by MacKay, have been given a very important and dangerous mission by a very grave-looking General Colin Firth. They must travel across no man's land to deliver a message to Colonel Benedict Cumberbatch, ordering him to stop an attack that will get 1,600 men slaughtered. Now, Lance Corporal Blake has extra motivation, as his brother, a lieutenant, will be part of that attack and slaughter.
Yes.
So, of course, he wants to get there as soon as possible to prevent it. Now, this seems a highly unusual premise for a film about the British in World War One. I thought it was kind of the done thing for generals to just needlessly send large numbers of men to pointless deaths.
I don't recall a lot of them trying to stop it. So that came later.
So I was shrugging my shoulders at that one, but there you have it. But what makes this film different from your standard, you know, tally-ho chaps, everyone over the top on my whistle type of World War One film? Well, it's obviously a desperate race against time, and not all of the action takes place in the confines of the trenches or the sort of cratered and barbed wire strewn no man's land. We follow our two protagonists through tunnels, open fields, forests, rivers, destroyed towns. They sort of resemble Dante's Inferno. And we ride on trucks with them, and we also dodge aeroplanes.
So it's a sort of more depressing Tour de France, sort of.
Yeah, well, actually, they don't get to ride bicycles.
The one thing I would have expected.
Well,
trucks,
I mean,
and bicycles.
It's very hard to ride a bicycle across a bomb-cratered field.
That's true. That is fair.
Look, director Sam Mendes has used a technique that gives the viewer the impression that the film is made in one continuous shot. So that's quite interesting in itself. It also makes the viewer feel almost like you're the third person in the group.
Mm.
So you're just looking over the shoulders of the two actors as they're going about their business. And I guess you're seeing it from the perspective of someone experiencing.
Right. So they kind of maintain a bit of a first-person camera. Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Sometimes it can feel really claustrophobic, and other times you get a sort of sense of wonder at the things that are going on around.
Yeah.
And also a sense of terror and foreboding.
So much fewer sort of big cinematic pans and more sort of like in close in the action.
That's right.
Which is different to a lot of war movies.
Exactly right. Yeah, so it gives the viewer a much, much more personal perspective of war. At times you almost feel like you're eavesdropping or intruding on the two main characters.
Yeah.
But you also get a sense of like the emotion and the desperation that they're feeling as well. And it certainly gives the viewer the feeling that unrelenting sort of gut-wrenching tension as well, as they face potential danger at every turn and death, even at some of the quieter moments in the film. So it's really quite an interesting technique. Now, the film actually wasn't made in one shot. That's kind of impossible for a film like this.
Yeah.
And there are points where you think, oh, well, there's some digital trickery involved there. Obviously,
so it's
the camera didn't follow the guy into the water.
Like it's made to look like a continuous take.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I've only
ever seen one film before that did that, but that was actually a continuous take. Yeah, so it's interesting they went for that.
Yeah, this definitely isn't, because there's not too many cameras that can follow,
no,
you know, someone jumping off a bridge into
a river.
Especially
the scale of production, yeah, certainly not. night.
Yeah, definitely. And it's at times like that where you're sort of almost taken out of the film, which is a bit distracting sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I say you just go along with it because there's not too many times when it is like that. There are very strong performances from George Mackay and our other lead actor, Dean Charles Chapman. Mm-hmm. And the cameos from your Benedict Cumberbatch's, Mark Strong's and Colin Firth's aren't too distracting. 1917.
Serious-looking Colin Firth.
He's very serious.
It's a good sell for me.
1917, it's a very impressive piece of filmmaking. Whatever your attitudes towards war films, it certainly deserves mentions in dispatches, at least.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Michael.
Pleasure.
And,